Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. We hope and pray everyone had a wonderful Christmas holiday and a wonderful new year. We're back in studio full of energy, full of strength, full of vigor. We're ready to contend again. So we hope and pray that you will join us for the remainder of this year. This is the first broadcast of the year. We pray that you'll be with us from January until December. But listen, if the Lord comes in between, then, you know, we'll just have these shows in heaven. But until then, let's just pledge. Let's just commit to meet each and every week to talk about what's going on in the church and is this the church that we're looking at? Well, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. Hi, my sister. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. It's minus 4 degrees here in my neck of the woods. But other than that, everything is hunky-dory, peaches and cream.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit warmer than that in my neck of the woods, about 60-something degrees here.
Wow. Listen, I would love to have 60 degrees, let me tell you. I would love to have 60-degree weather. But so you had a good Christmas, good New Year?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. How about yourself?
I had a great, great Christmas, great New Year, rested. Did a lot of thinking, did a lot of praying, just pondering, you know, the state of the world, where we're at with Omicron, the supply chain issues, the gas prices, you know, the everything that's going on in the world, everything crazy,
yeah.
Everything that's upside down, you know, and just saying, I just know it's going to get worse because it's been predicted in the Bible that it's going to get worse. But
right.
This is pretty bad.
Yes, it is. And I was talking to someone about a lot of these things, and you know, the especially like Social Security benefits and things, that subject came up, and because this person is more of a word of faith type person, they didn't even want to acknowledge or speak it into the atmosphere that, you know, some of these things could end. So I'm just like, okay, but, you know, the Bible says that things can get pretty bad, and just watching things like you've been doing, it's like just trying to pray and not fear and trust in God, but also understanding that at some point he's our only hope, because we can't depend on the government and of these other things to take care of us. Just to get the mindset that these things are coming down the pipes at some point.
Right. Well, let's talk about the thing you were mentioning about the deficit, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, it's what? 27 trillion, 28 trillion on paper?
Yeah, about 28 trillion, yes.
Okay, so that's what they have on paper. Now, you know that what it really is, it's a lot more. They're just, you know, they're just letting you see. Okay, so now here you have all these people looking forward to their pension, their Social Security.
Yeah.
All the pensions are, you know, they're embedded in the stock market.
Right.
401k, stock market, all that. Okay, so when all of that crashes and you look at your 401k now, it looks beautiful. But when the stock market crashes and you get your report and you have nothing, then Social Security sends you a letter that they're out of funds. Right?
Yeah.
It's the perfect scenario to tell people, okay, now if you want to get any kind of benefits, you need to take this chip or whatever they're going to embed in the body so you can buy and sell. It'll be easy peasy.
Right. Or to get your whatever that stipend, I forget what they call it, where they're going to give everybody a paycheck, so to speak.
Universal pay, universal pay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To get this, you got to join the go-along, get-along gang. That's what I call it.
Right. So the issue is that people are used to a certain lifestyle, and they're not ready for anything abrupt. They're just not ready for it. And the food banks, people going to food banks is at an all-time high.
Right.
So, for New Year's Eve, my kids wanted pizza with chicken wings. Okay. Now, if you know anything about meat
a chicken wing to be found.
Not a chicken wing. Now, in my day, if you gave me the chicken wing at dinner, you were insulting me. Right?
Yes.
I mean, you would just, Right. I mean, my little baby sister, my little baby sister who was two, used to get the little chicken wing, right?
Right.
If you gave that to me, I was a 16-year-old, you gave me a chicken wing, I'm saying, wait a minute. I've been chopping all this wood, and what I'm going to get is a chicken wing? So in my day, nobody wanted the chicken wing.
You at least wanted a leg or a thigh or something.
Right. Some,
you know, daddy got the breast, but, you know, at least give me the thigh or the leg.
something. So, going back, I go to Walmart, no chicken wings. I went to 5 different stores, no chicken wings. So, mm-hmm. I'm at the last store, and the butcher comes out, and he's putting out meats. And I said, do you have any chicken wings? He says, we haven't gotten chicken wings in months. Really?
Nope.
Well,
especially not the drumette types, you know, the one where where it's cut up into little pieces.
You
definitely can't find those.
Right. And about 6 months ago, we bought a bag of chicken wings at Walmart, you know, the Walmart brand chicken wings. And I told my wife, when I saw it in the cart, I said, put it back. And she said, why? I said, you see this? This is mostly ice. When you defrost these chicken, they put them in there with water. So it says 5 pounds, but it's 3 pounds of water, 2 pounds of chicken wings. Oh, but
exactly.
We need them. We need them. Right? We need them. Okay, so when she went home and defrosted them, it was exactly what I told her. Half the bag was ice, half the bag was chicken wings. She felt robbed.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her.
Yep.
See?
And now they're saying there's some problems with hamburger, like there's so supposedly some kind of recall because of E. coli. So it's like, are they trying to trick us into eating this plant-based fake meat now by making stuff unavailable?
Right. So that's it. This is where we're at now. This is where we're at. And so God help us. And I hope and pray that people stop sending George Bloomer money. Because every day he's on the air doing Wolf Ecology. And he's asking people to sow $1,000. And I don't know if it's true, but they say, okay, this person here sold $1,000 and this other. So obviously gullible people are sending the money. He's on the air every 5 days a week doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And every night it's sow this seed and sow that seed to prevent this, to prevent that. And, you know, inflation is just roaring.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. So.
It's
you know,
just not good, but. God, we trust in the Lord that's all that we can do.
That's all we can do is trust in Him. Trust in Him. I know in North Korea people are eating cockroaches and are, you know, loving it because that's what that regime is feeding these poor people. You know?
Right.
We've had it so good. You know, we've had it so good. But,
there's a lot of folks that just don't want to believe that these things could be imminent, that our lifestyle could drastically change. They don't even want to talk about it or speak or, you know, bind in the spirit that would make that happen. It's got nothing to do with spirit, and you can't bind it.
Well, it's nonsense. I mean, okay, so let's say we all got together and we started to bind the Antichrist. Then Bible prophecy would never be fulfilled. We would be binding things contrary to the will of God.
That's right.
And we know that that's not possible, but let's just say, we'll let you have it that it is possible. If we did it, we would be suppressing the will of God. We would be fighting God because God wants the prophetic clock to keep ticking forward and we want it to be at a standstill. And it's just not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. But going back to Kanye West, he's got a new girlfriend, and then Kim's got a new boyfriend. So,
right.
I mean, wow.
And then Kanye bought a house and is going to live right across the street from Kim.
Is that crazy?
Right across, yeah, stalker. That sounded really weird.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
They
These
say Kim isn't
people.
All that happy about it, but I guess out of convenient access to the children,
right,
for visitation,
right,
is the excuse that he's giving, that he's doing that, but the house that he's buying is right across the street from where she lives, which is their old house that they had together.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of creepy. That's and
very.
Yeah, because yeah, that's yeah, these people they change husbands like and wives like, you know, one changes a dress or shirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Kim Kardashian, I mean, how many boyfriends and husbands has she had?
Well, she's had three husbands officially, but then you got to throw in the boyfriend.
Yeah, which has been a lot.
Yep.
There's been a lot of them. So, yeah, but, hey, she's going to break Elizabeth Taylor's record. That's for sure.
Well, maybe. As far as the husbands, Elizabeth had like eight, didn't she?
Yeah, she had eight. But, the you know, listen.
One of them twice, but, you know.
No, she'll crack that record. That's, you know, that record is in jeopardy. That record
is
in jeopardy.
Yeah, she's about halfway there.
Yep. Absolutely. And so this is the crazy world that we live in. I tell you, it's a bizarre.
You just look around and you're listening to Rod Serling's voice that you have just entered the Twilight Zone. Because it's Lord, where am I?
Absolutely. It's crazy. Just... You know, and there's no answers. Fauci, I was watching a little bit of Fauci yesterday on TV, and he's basically saying everybody's going to get Omicron. So then what's the use of getting the vaccine and the boosters?
None that I can see if we're all still in the same boat as we were before there was a vaccine on the market. There's no difference. You still could get it. You might have symptoms. You might not. You might go to the hospital. You might not. You might die. So what's the difference?
Right. So I'm saying, wow. Wear the mask. Don't wear the mask. Wear two masks. I'm watching, and he takes off the mask to speak. Then he puts it back on to speak. The lady who runs Biden's task force, she had two masks. She had a white one on and a black one. And that's why I knew she had two masks, because bizarre. And New York City is giving voting rights to illegal aliens.
Yes.
No
value in citizenship anymore, and you come here and get all the benefits and to do the things that citizens do.
Right.
So what's the point of going through that process?
None. People are leaving New York like it's going out of style, and the governor, Ms. Hochul, she says, I'm going to do everything possible to bring people back into the Empire State. And I'm saying, lady, the reason why they're leaving is because you're governor. Everything possible, then resign. resign, right, and people won't leave.
And then the city down there in New York City, they've lost their mind. And even this new mayor is not going to change anything.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Crime is out of control. Out of control is crime. It's just sad. And then in the church world, my goodness, the church world, you got this nut,
mm-hmm,
Dallas Jenkins. Wow.
Yes, and speaking of that, yesterday, as I had told you, I was having a medical look, outpatient surgical procedure done. And so
right.
When I went to the hospital yesterday, I'm sitting in the waiting room when, you know, getting ready for them to call me to go back to the surgical area. And what do I see but someone walking by with the Chosen novel under
wow.
their arm, the one that Jerry Jenkins wrote. It's like, boy, you just can't get away.
Wow. Wow.
So
I tell
everywhere,
you.
And even the friend that I was took me to my appointment and everything, we were talking, and one of the things that came up was the Chosen, and she had started to look at some episodes, but she was having some trouble with some of the timeline. She's like, it seemed like I was having trouble with the timelines a little. She said, I don't know the Bible inside and out, but I got a little confused. So, you know, I was like, yeah, the timelines are a little weird with this show. And I know that's one of the things that we mention often. And even last time we left off with the Christmas show, you were saying that you wanted to take a look at some of these timelines again in that episode because it was just so off, where he's jumping from a time in the future and then he's going backwards and just jumping around, and it is hard to keep up with sometimes. But for whatever reason, Dallas does not see a problem with adding things or taking the timelines away and switching things around because maybe the story tells better. But I don't know. I don't think you should do that with the gospel. What say you, brother?
Well, Dallas Jenkins is in the same company as Jim Jones. Jim Jones didn't have a problem with changing things and adding and ad-libbing and,
yeah,
you know, imagining, and the same is true for all false teachers. You watch Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan. He doesn't have a problem with changing things, and or Bishop Carlton Pearson. You listen to that nut. He's changing things all the time. Imagining Rob Bell. Think of Rob Bell, the stuff that he
mm-hmm.
comes up with. False teachers don't have a problem
yeah.
with that. They don't, you know, it's like, okay, we can do this. We, you know, we
yeah.
can take freedom. And
and Dallas will say that this is the authentic Jesus, the authentic gospel, but it's not. I mean, it doesn't match much of what's in the Bible other than the names and some of the locations.
Right, right. But the episodes are, you know, juvenile. The stuff he's got there, just, you know, it's just... it's Mickey Mouse. It's, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
that's the best way to label it. It's Mickey Mouse. It's, you know, I don't care what cameras they're
give
using.
Give Mickey a little credit now.
Yeah, well, you know, by Mickey Mouse, I mean it's Disney World stuff, right?
Yeah.
Think about Disney World. Walt Disney started out
wanting
to reach children. Now Disney's perverting children. It's the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage. This is garbage, you know. And look, the fact that Joel Osteen, quote unquote, has the largest church in America and the largest following around the world, he's still Mickey Mouse. Still Mickey
yes.
Mouse. This is just because you have a huge following doesn't mean you're the standard. You're Mickey Mouse. Well, Larry, I don't know. He doesn't know anything.
Right,
the only thing he knows
right.
is that Victoria, he's married to Victoria and she's the boss. That's all he knows. And he better know that. He better know it because she'll smack
or
him
else.
Around. Or else. But, no, this is, look, we've seen this before. This is garbage. And people love garbage. People flock to garbage.
Yeah.
You
yes,
know?
And unfortunately, even church folk.
Right. Look at Eddie Long's church. Look how packed that place was with garbage. Look at Creflo Dollar.
Yeah, well, it's packed again now, even with Jamal Bryant there. Still
right.
garbage.
Still garbage. Because people flock to that. That's what they want. That's, you know, and... George Blumer. George Blumer has no shortage of supporters.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nut. And not only is he a nut, he's illiterate. The man is complete. He's illiterate.
Yeah.
He established
his
own Bible
man.
College.
He was a
I'm
grown
sorry?
Man. He said, "When he, I said George was a grown man when he finally learned to read and write, according
and
to him.
Right, and he doesn't. No, he doesn't read and write at all because he has a reader. When he preaches,
yeah,
he says, "Okay,
true.
read for me." So no, this is that his book, Witchcraft in the Pews, supposedly sold 2 million copies. That's the claim, right? So two, it's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage.
Absolutely.
Right?
So you're right. Garbage sells.
That's it. It sells. It just sells. It's, you know, in the Christian world, you throw out garbage, it sells. People lap it up. People lap it up. And that just goes to show that most people in the church are goats. They're not sheep. They're goats. They're goats.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
Look, this guy, Dallas Jenkins, he's everything he can produce to sell in addition to the DVDs that he's selling or whatever. Wristbands, T-shirts, hoodies, you know, paintings.
Paintings.
He's got his daddy,
yeah.
his daddy writing a series of books on... Well, wait a minute. If you watch the episode, why do you need the book? And his daddy, I got to watch each episode 20 times to get the feel of it. 20 times. I mean, I couldn't believe what he said. I said, wait a minute. 20 times.
Me either. Yes,
we
watch it to evaluate it critically, but we don't need to watch it that many times.
No, it's rubbish. It's just complete rubbish. Again, he's got different irons in the fire. He's trying to please the feminists. He's trying to please the Catholics. He's trying to please the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly not
right.
trying to please the Lord.
Right.
right? And,
because
in
this Christmas program, we noted how it appears that he's elevating Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene a lot in this to appease the feminists, but maybe even the Catholics and the Gnostics as well.
Right, right. No, it's horrible. And then, you know, the Mormon said, oh, we like your presentation of Jesus. Oh, that's our Jesus.
Yeah, I bet they do.
I hope. Yeah. He says, I hope the evangelicals don't hear that. I hope they don't hear that because that would tip evangelicals off that's not the Jesus of the Bible.
I would think that most people have seen these interviews or heard people talk about them, and I'm not sure that the quote unquote evangelicals care.
Right. Right.
Because so, how long have, all the way back to the apostles, they've been warning and teaching about wolves, back to Jesus, really, the false teachers and the wolves, but people just don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. We are in the last days, and people don't care. They don't care. That's it.
Nope.
At least that's
the way it seems to me, anyway, that you don't. People just seem don't care. If they like somebody, it doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, I mean, you point the facts out to people and say, well, I'm still going to watch it. Okay. But why would you watch it if it's rubbish? Because it makes me feel good. I feel good inside when I watch it. Good about what? What is it, you know? And that one lady who was kind of sponsoring him financially or whatever, she was in tears. Oh, he did this for me.
Oh, yeah.
He touched me. Of course he did it for you. You're bankrolling him.
That's
of
right.
Course he's, what do you think, he's stupid? He's going to do more shows that are going to make you happy. It's
well,
amazing.
There's nothing wrong with feeling good, but it has to be in the right way, in the right context. But maybe people embrace it because it takes their mind off things. But
maybe.
I would rather people embrace the real Jesus, because the Jesus depicted in this show couldn't save anybody.
No, absolutely not. This is a Jesus who's arguing with John the Baptist. Can you imagine that? John the Baptist and Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, when I, what? Jesus and John the Baptist arguing? It's unheard of.
John went from not being worthy to untie his shoes to arguing with him.
Right. No, this rubbish. Garbage. Please, if that was the last thing to watch on TV, I wouldn't watch it. If that's all, if I turned on my TV and that's all they had, The Chosen, I would say that's it. Put the TV on the corner. Let the garbage man pick it up, because we're not watching The Chosen.
And maybe it wouldn't be so bad if people. Some people might say, well, it's just entertaining, a good story, but they're not embracing it like this is Jesus and his personality or anything like that, maybe. But from what I'm seeing, that's not the case with a lot of people. They think this is the way, this is the real Jesus. This is a representation of his personality and how he interacted. How he was as a human, and it's just not the case, at least what we've seen so far.
Well, listen, if I was to buy a pie at the supermarket and half of the pie was green with mold, am I going to stick the fork in the part that doesn't have mold? No. I'm going to take it back to the store and ask for a refund. As far as I'm concerned,
that's right.
Half a pie makes the rest of the pie unedible.
Yes,
that's it.
That's right.
So, you know, so what I've seen makes the rest of what he wants to do. So this is season two. Guess what? And he's projected season eight. It makes the rest of it garbage.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much further off the rails he could go.
Yeah. I mean, he's completely off the rails. Like you said, in the Twilight Zone, there's a show where a man's on a train and the conductor says, Willoughby, Willoughby.
Yeah.
And that was the last stop.
Yeah.
And that's what we're
that's
at
right.
with this. We're in Willoughby with this thing.
Exactly, in a world that completely doesn't exist.
Right. That's it. That's it. So sad. All right. So let me know when you want to get started.
So we had a little bit left in the Christmas episode. We left off somewhere around the hour 42-minute mark, because what it was is that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was sick or something, and she, when it was in that present timeline, she had sent for Mary Magdalene, apparently, and some guy had to smuggle her into wherever Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at, and the Mary, mother of Jesus, was reflecting on Jesus's birth and the trip to Bethlehem and the stable, and, you know, Joseph having to clean up manure to make a spot for them. You know, that was Dallas's favorite scene, apparently. And so that's what this episode called The Messengers was talking about. And we just had a little bit left to go. But one thing you mentioned last time was the timelines and how they had Luke and Paul some in Rome or somewhere together. And when certain apostles were martyred was a little off. So I didn't know where you wanted to go to in order to discuss those, or did you just want to continue from where we left off?
Yeah, let's continue where we left off, and then what I can do is, as it comes up, I'll interject, because it's been a month, and I don't remember exactly, you know, where we were. So now I do know. Hold on 1 minute. Let me just get this here.
Because we got about to where she was giving birth, and you made the joke, the crack, the joke that you thought you the baby was born completely with a diaper on it. So,
right.
But I was saying maybe somewhere around the hour 42-minute, because that's when Mary Magdalene first arrives to see Mary, the mother of Jesus, I believe, is what I've got marked here.
Okay, so let's put it there. Let's pick it up from there. We're not in a rush, so we can pull it back to 142, and pick it up from there. And I'll stop it as I, you know, may think you may want to comment.
Okay.
Okay, here it is.
Sorry to wake you, Barbara.
Oh, I was just resting my eyes.
Are you feeling well enough to see her?
She's here? Oh, what are you waiting for?
She loves me.
So this is Mary, an old woman. I guess she's sick, and Mary Magdalene comes to meet her, and now Mary's going to tell Mary Magdalene the story, and Mary Magdalene's going to write it down, and then she's going to give it secondhand to somebody else, and then they're going to make it part of their gospel. Baloney.
Right. She wants to include, you know, the prayer right after she saw Elizabeth, that where in Luke where she's saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That psalm, that's what she's saying when she first told Luke her story. She forgot or just chose not to put that part in it. And now she's changed her mind, and she sent for Mary Magdalene to write it down, to take it to Luke, who is compiling his gospel.
All right, let's play this.
All right.
How did they get you here?
Ash, former zealot, had ideas and old friends to get me to Tishka for the last leg.
Do you need anything else?
Where is Z now?
Persia, Lebanon, Armenia, all over the place.
I will just leave you to it, then. Let me know if you need anything.
Thank you. I came as soon as I heard.
Just a fever. I'll be fine. I just had something to share with you. But first, anything to report about our boys?
I don't want to. Let's just talk about what you brought me here for.
I want to know, Mary. I pray for them every day. I want to know what to pray for.
They're preaching everywhere. And the church is growing. And the deaths of Big James and Nathaniel seem to have known him bold and everyone, especially Peter.
Of course.
Man, it's just getting more difficult. It's clear they want us all dead. You can pray especially for Andrew in Greece. They say he will be arrested at any moment.
I will pray that list. Do you know where Luke is?
Yes, he's in Rome with Paul.
Can you reach him?
If necessary, of course. Why?
He's been gathering his records of the stories, and we spoke. But I didn't tell him everything.
There is enough wood here. I can put something together for you.
There's no time. They're coming a bit faster now.
All right, we can do this. Try to see if you can find a spot to sit on this blanket, and I'll put something together for you and clean up, huh?
Okay. He needs a place to sleep.
What?
When he gets here, he needs a place to lie down. You make my bed. I'll make it.
Already a mother, huh? Song of David. We could use one right about now.
No, sorry. It's just something to myself.
A poem you created.
Yes, but...
When?
Several months ago.
I would love to hear it. Mary? You've seen this. Mary? Mary?
It's time.
Oh, yeah. Come, I've got you. Come sit.
Should we call for help? You've never done this before. Maybe the wife could come and help.
No, there isn't any time. We've got
no,
this.
No, no, no. I don't want you kissing me like this.
Close. Mary, look at
me. No, I should wait. I just go get someone.
Don't look over there, Mary. Look at me. We are not alone.
I'm so scared.
Remember what your messenger said. The first thing your messenger said. It was the same thing my messenger said to me. Remember?
Don't be be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for taking care of me. God gave you to me.
He has been our help. And in the shadow of his wings, we will sing for joy. A song of David. Can I hear yours now?
Not now.
Oh, I know, I know. It is time, yes? Okay. It is time.
I told Luke about the journey to Bethlehem and about how we couldn't get a room at the inn. But I didn't tell him about myself.
Yourself?
When I went to see my cousin Elizabeth when she was pregnant with John, she cried out when she saw me. I told Luke about this, how she was overwhelmed for the both of us. And she called me the mother of her Lord. And we were laughing and crying together. And it was all too much. And words of praise just burst out of me.
Please tell me I'm about to hear them.
You're going to write them down and deliver them to Luke. The materials are here. I trust you to get them right and to keep it safe and to get it to Luke. I've kept it all to myself. As you know, I like to treasure things in my heart. I was shy and it felt personal between God and me. But I wish I would have shared it with Joseph. And people must know. These felt like God's words as much as my own. I can't explain it, but they did. And people must know. It's like the song of Hannah, but even more beautiful.
Are you better? Is this comfortable?
Yes, thank you.
Are you still in pain?
Yes, but the blanket underneath is helping.
Oh, I don't know how you did that. I feel like my heart is going to explode.
Oh, don't make me laugh. It hurts too much. He's so small.
Smaller than I expected.
I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't any of this.
No. From the beginning of it all. So, your messenger said that he would be called Holy, the Son of God. The prophecy mentions Emmanuel. Are we going to stick with Jesus?
I think we should.
Probably best, huh?
He needs to sleep.
You both do. Put him in the manger. It's a better bed than the one I made for you.
Let's just pause it there for a moment. I didn't notice the first time, but as I'm looking at this, this Jesus looks like Kanye. I'm sorry, this Joseph looks like Kanye West.
Maybe that's makeup to make him look so dark.
Yeah. Boy, what a mess. What a mess.
And I forgot to mention the timeline, the present with Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary takes place in 48 A.D., and I guess the nativity is more of what, 4? AD, I think it was, that
right.
He had on here. So just to bring that up again, because you were saying about how Luke couldn't have been with Paul in Rome because Paul was just in Thessalonica or somewhere at that point.
That's correct.
So,
that's correct.
And the martyrdoms it had Big James. She mentioned how he had been martyred, and then Nathaniel. But we were saying that's off because it wasn't in the book of Acts about Nathaniel's death at the time of James's. So there were just some little wonky little things that were mentioned as far as the timelines.
Right. The Gospel of Luke, when you look at commentaries or study Bibles or, you know, Bible encyclopedias or dictionaries, the assumed date for the Gospel of Luke is 60. So, again, now here's the dangerous thing about Mary Magdalene writing stuff down and then giving it to Luke. Let me just, okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Okay.
It says, for as much, Luke 1:1, forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were what?
Eyewitnesses.
Okay, so the question is, was Mary Magdalene an eyewitness?
Not likely.
Of this portion here of Jesus in the manger. No. An eyewitness to that was Mary. Right?
Right.
So this theory that Mary gives it to Mary Magdalene so that then she can give it to Luke, doesn't sit well with that scripture.
Right.
Because he didn't get secondhand information. He got it from whom? Eyewitnesses. So, again, the whole Elizabeth encounter, he had to have gotten it from Mary, who was there.
That's right.
Not from Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is not a source of anything.
No. She only appears a couple of times in the gospel narratives. Once
right.
when Luke mentions how he cast spirits out of her and how she was among the women who followed him and supported him, and then again at the tomb, or the crucifixion and then the tomb.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Another thing I'm curious about with this whole scene where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is located, or I'm wondering who is this guy that she's with who's taking care of her, because I thought John was supposed to be looking after her.
John and, of course, her son James.
Okay,
right? but that's not
who this guy is, though. That wasn't the name we heard. It was Lazarus or something like that.
Right, right. And of course, you know, if James is unable to take care of his mother because he died soon after he wrote his epistle, and I
mm-hmm.
believe James was written, let me see when James was written.
But see, with Dallas and what he's doing here is trying to make this show appealing to Catholics. One thing I've been noticing, even in the other episodes we've watched, is that anytime Mary shows up, none of the other kids are around. So maybe
that's why James wouldn't be mentioned. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, James was written anywhere between 45 and 50 A.D. So
mm-hmm.
He would have been around to take care of his mama.
Right.
And then, of course, you have Jude, the brother
mm-hmm.
of James. That's another one of her sons. So, but that's a good point that you make, because he doesn't want to offend the Catholics, so this is Lazarus, you know, cousin Lazarus,
right.
you know. So,
just some other believer, and if the two sons weren't available or traveling or something, then maybe John, because of what Jesus said to him on the cross. So
right.
You know, and it's believed that he did look after Mary until her death at some point in time.
Right, right. So, no, this is, again, now for the Catholics have this doctrine called the Assumption of Mary, where
mm-hmm.
She wasn't even sick or anything, but there came a point in time when she ascended into heaven.
Oh, okay.
And that is a new
Jesus.
Right. That is a relatively new approved doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. And I remember back in the 1970s, it must have been 76, 77, that they brought a film to the Catholic Church that my father had me going to. And, you know, it was a reel-to-reel film. They brought a projector and all that. And it was about Mary going to heaven. Now, that was 1976, 77 when I saw that film. They sat us down. You know, I was a teenager then. They sat us down, and she just went up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
If I remember correctly, the spot where she was standing when she went up was then covered with flowers. There were flowers everywhere. You know, but she, and that's called the Doctrine of the Assumption of Mary, which is, you know, considering how old Catholicism is, I think it was decreed in 1890. If my memory serves me correct, in 1890, that's when they solidified the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary, that she never died.
Okay.
But she went directly to heaven. And of course, that's because
okay.
they don't teach that Mary sinned. You know,
right.
But again, that goes contrary to Scripture when she says, you know, she called upon God, her Savior. I mean, to be in need of a Savior means that you're lost.
That's right.
So, you know, you're lost in your sins. So, on the one hand, it does appease Catholics, but I don't know that they would be comfortable with Mary being all sickly. But this is a mess. This is a complete, because look, the problem is you can't please everybody. That's the problem. You know, and that's why you gotta let the gospel stand for itself, because God is not out to please anyone. He's just out to tell the story.
That's right.
See,
when you're
we
trying
preach
to
the gospel,
be ecumenical, and when you're in bed with a few different, what Dallas likes to call faith traditions, but it's really just
right.
a couple of false religions. But
correct.
He's in bed with those guys, so he's trying to make a Jesus that's non-offensive, or a story that's non-offensive. And it looks like this story is more about the two women than it is Jesus, in my opinion.
Right. Right. It's again, he's appealing to certain groups. And, of course, to that sobby sister, you know, who is just
yeah.
pouring money into the project, and he's just, you know, pulling at her heartstrings. And and the more tears, you know, he sees,
the more
he knows
money.
It means more cash, more cash, more cash. But this is not the gospel. It's
right, so he would rather avoid offend. He rather offend God than man.
And the thing is this. I mean, I'm not against women having a prominent role in the church. I've made this case so many times to my Baptist and my Reformed brothers that in my church, in the church that I grew up in, if it wasn't for the woman, there would be no church. Now they don't understand that, but in you know, in my neighborhood, among my people, and I don't mean to, you know, to be, you know, saying that, you know, I don't love everybody or I'm not into everybody. When I say my people, I just mean my ethnic group. Within my ethnic group, the women held the church together. I'm not against women in ministry. I for one am not. Even though I have many friends who, oh no, never, you know. But the women held it together. In my circles, the women held it together.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if it was true that Mary, the two Marys, did some wonderful work, I don't want to shoot them down. But the problem is,
right.
this is all made up.
Right. It's as if that she, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is giving Mary Magdalene a special revelation that she didn't share with anyone else, and then Mary's got to take it and give it to Luke, you know, to like in the Gnostic that Gnostic Gospel of Mary, that it shows her teaching the apostles things that Jesus taught her alone, supposedly.
Right.
And then she had to give it to them. It rings of that to me when I see the this scene.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And another thing real quick with the birth, and when Joseph is saying about naming him, the name, what he was supposed to be named, the Lord, I mean, was not even a question. It was clear with the angel's instructions to name him Jesus. So why
Absolutely.
Would that be something that would be discussed? You know, how are you going to disobey the message that God brought to you on what to name him?
Right, right, right. And again, that's him taking license, because he's saying,
right.
"Hey, we can't name him the Most High. We can't name him Emmanuel," which, by the way, is one of his names. I mean, we're not excluding the name
yes.
Emmanuel, but the angel Gabriel said, "And you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people
yes.
from their sins." That's what the
right.
angel said. You
right.
shall name him Jesus, just like the angel told Zechariah, "And you shall name your son John." Same thing.
That's right.
So I don't know what's the ambiguity. What's the debate about? There's no debate.
I don't know.
Yeah. But again, that's Dallas. You know, imagining.
yes.
All right. So let's see what else he's got set up here. We're at the 1 hour, 54-minute mark.
Okay.
I want you to tell him about the swaddling cloth.
You want him to write about it?
People must know. I want to honor the help we received from the innkeeper, but I also think it's lovely that we use the same cloth they use to wrap newborn lambs. I wonder if God gave us that as a sign.
It is lovely.
And there's something else. Go get that box over there by the window. Open it. What's inside is yours. So much to me, I just couldn't leave them.
Now he's catering to the Catholics, because the Catholics are into relics.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. Here's the relic, because in the scripture in Luke, when the angel mentions the cloth to the shepherds, and how they would find the child wrapped in the swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes was just, it wasn't, he said something about that being a cloth that they wrapped the newborn lambs, but I thought swaddling clothes was something to help the baby to keep him still and not being able to scratch or harm himself. I mean, even now in hospitals, they wrap babies in those blankets pretty tight
right.
when they've got them in those the baby beds in the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, to keep them nice and tight like they were in the womb.
Right, and I don't think that was meant to be some special significance behind the cloth. It's what everyone did with newborns.
Right. But again, you know, I kept them. I kept them, and they're for you.
And you don't see that anywhere in the scripture, by the way, where she actually kept the cloth or anything. I mean, maybe she did. You know, and that's how Dallas gets away with this stuff, because it's possible. But, you know, because people sometimes keep mementos about, you know, put throughout different markers in a child's life and stuff, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, this is, again, you know, introducing this whole notion of holy relics. Now, did she keep Jesus' first shoe? Did she keep Jesus' first diaper? Did she keep Jesus' first tooth? I mean, we can go on and on.
A lock of his hair?
Yeah, we can go on and on and on, you know, silliness. Just, you know.
Yeah.
But,
so that what you said is what I first thought about when I saw her take out that box. It's like, oh, this is relics.
Right. Yep.
But I've never heard of them having the swaddling cloth as a relic anywhere. Have you? I'm sure we've seen
never.
It written somewhere.
Right. Well, it's the Roman Church doesn't claim to have those. The only thing they claim to have anything similar to that is the Shroud of Turin, right? Supposedly his burial cloth. But by her having stuff in a box and saying, this is for you, you know, it's so special because it came from him. Please.
Right.
You know.
I get what you were saying about the Catholics and how they believe Mary. We started the program again. I saw a comment where someone said that the Mother of God didn't have labor pain, so I thought that was interesting.
Right. Yep. They, again, Mary never sinned. Mary, you know, she never had an evil thought. She, you know, again, Mary was in fact, the Immaculate Conception has nothing to do with Jesus being born sinless. If you look it up, the Immaculate Conception has to do with Mary being conceived without sin. That's the Immaculate Conception, that she was conceived without sin, not Jesus, her. And as a result of her being conceived not in sin, then Jesus benefited from that.
Right.
Pagan.
That's right.
Just, you know, just it's just.
And it seems like a hint of that is being highlighted in this episode, especially these scenes with Mary as an older woman, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so let's see what else they got in this little box.
Mamelda, you... Mother, there's a rip here. From when we gave a piece to one of the shepherds to dress his wound. Did you tell Luke about the shepherds? I love that part.
Of course.
I can't.
And you will. It would be a reminder of where all this began. And how he was one of us for a time.
You see, it goes back to Roman Catholics saving things that belong to people.
And it's more to it than a keepsake.
Right. Absolutely. And because now, see, in the Roman Catholic Church, they had all these different kinds of relics. And if you kiss them, well, you got a certain amount of years knocked off from purgatory. Right. And of course, when you went to visit all these relics, There was a money box there. You put money. It's like when I used to go to Coney Island, and they had all the misfit animals. You know, they had a museum,
yes,
and they had
the
animals in jars, and you pay. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You pay and you go in and you see all the freaks in there and all the, you know, and that's what that is. All relics. All, you know, here's a mm-hmm. Jack the Ripper's jacket, and you know, it's just crazy.
Right.
But all these things are money makers. Right? You look, take for example, not to get sidetracked, but look at Billy Graham. They got that memorial to Billy. They got a barn, right? They got a museum for Billy Graham, and they got his stuff there. What is that? What is that if not a moneymaker? That's what that is.
Yeah.
Right? That's all. You go in, you pay your
fee.
That's
feet. All it is.
That's it. You're not going to get anything from, you know, you're not going to feel any anointing or derive any, you know. Listen, if it's not Jesus, who cares? Billy Graham, are you kidding
That's
me?
Right.
If it's not Jesus, you know, if it's not Jesus, it's over. It's done with. He's the Savior.
He's all that matters. He's the Savior. That's right.
Right. So, why not keep Jesus' first hammer? You know, his little apprentice hammer. you want to get ridiculous? Let's get ridiculous. You know, come on. Why not keep the nails? Right? I mean,
yeah.
Please. You go down the line, please. Oh, my goodness. Well, who kept the crown of thorns? Who got that? You know,
what happened to the clothes that the soldiers bartered for?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. No, this is, again, who cares about the clothes? It's the message. The message.
That's right.
The message. That's what saves. Swaddling clothes. come on. All right. And think about it. Here's a woman who claims to be inspired of God and dictates this Magnificat, right, this great song, and at the same time she's mm-hmm. into paganism. How does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a distortion. It's a distortion.
Well, that's a perfect example of what Catholicism is, or Roman Catholicism is, a merger
right.
of the Christianity and paganism.
Correct. All right, let's see what else is in this box.
Loved you like a daughter since I met you at the wedding, and you have done God's work.
Thank you, and it seems like you'll get to see him before I do.
Child, this is not the end.
I will get this to Luke right away.
So what happens to Mary Magdalene now? She has to get back into the cart and get smuggled back?
Well, I assume so, but what the next scene will just show her arriving to wherever
okay.
Luke is at.
All right. Let's see.
You've been recording an account of Jesus' birth, yes?
Oh, yes. I have begun collecting historical accounts.
I've just been to see Mother Mary in a secure location.
Mother Mary.
Uh-huh. Yep.
There you
That's
go.
That's right.
I just can't. Yeah, there it is. There it is. All right, let's see, because Luke's supposed to be with Paul. I don't know what he's doing there with Mary Magdalene. All right.
Yes. I have completed my writing of her account. Did you have something to add?
So you see, this makes no sense.
None
right?
at all.
Is
she in Rome? Did she go to Rome? Because remember, she told Mary that Luke was in Rome with Paul. So is that where she is?
It was a Greek setting or Greek Roman setting because. The young man that was there was not dressed Jewish. He was dressed like a Greek, and there were Greek
mm-hmm.
columns. So you have to assume that, you know, this is somewhere in the Greek world, not specified because, it didn't say Rome or Antioch or, you know, it's not specified
no.
where, you know. But, and there's no record of Mary Magdalene ever making it to Rome. So
no, we don't know if she ever left Judea.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So now it says here the chosen, the messengers, what is that about? Is that another?
That's the name of this episode we just watched.
Okay.
It's called
so now
the
what
messengers
follows?
Because of a bunch of singing.
Okay.
Because remember I told you that most of this program was just the singing because he had this big musical production.
Correct.
And then
correct.
A guy's going to come up that's the act that's going to do some kind of soliloquy and then it's going to be a song. And then Dallas bloviating at the end. So it's really nothing
okay.
else to watch. That was
right,
the entire
right.
episode. I thought
you,
when he was saying that this was I thought that when they advertised this as a Planet Theaters, I thought it would be a feature-length type of a film. So I would have been upset if this is all you get, and then you get all this music. Not
right,
that there's
right,
anything
right.
wrong with music, but I wouldn't have gone to the theater to see this.
Sure. I wouldn't even gone to my man cave to see this. Please. And that's just a few feet away. That's not happening. No. No. This is rubbish.
Yes, it seems more geared toward Catholic sensibilities in their version of Jesus than anything else, and it seems to elevate the women or Mary, in particular, Mary, Mother of Jesus, and then Mary Magdalene more than his birth. Most of the story seems centered around them, because remember, mm-hmm. that's how the whole film opened. And in the beginning, you were wondering, well, why is he opening with this? But we now it's to elevate Mary.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, one Mary is elevating the other, in that here, you get to keep this, you get to write down, you get to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then she gives her blessing to proceed on her mission to take this snippet to Luke.
Right.
We don't know where she went, but you know.
Right. You're gonna make me go 1,000 miles, and you could have told him this when you were with him, and now you want to
right.
Now you want to say it, and you're gonna make me go 1,000 miles.
Because it's not
Please.
Like hopping on a plane. I mean, how did she get to Rome if that's where she went?
Right.
If that's what we're supposed to believe, because she mentioned that Luke was in Rome, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, unless a bit of time went by and he had moved somewhere else by the time she was
mm-hmm.
able to deliver the message to him.
Right. But
so I don't know if Dallas is including her in the messengers, or is it just the angels that, I mean, it's just so conflated. I don't know.
Yeah. Because Luke says, when he sees Mary, he says, what are you doing here? It's dangerous. So you would think it's
right.
during the persecution at Rome under Nero.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what you would.
Because that's the where Paul ended up, right? And he
right.
never left.
Right. So, this is a mess, a big time mess. So, I tell you,
this
guy.
Christmas.
what a fiasco.
This is a Christless Christmas program here.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, what do we call them? What do you call them? You don't know what to call them?
Right.
You're debating
Emmanuel.
As to what you're going to...
Or
wow.
you call them Jesus like the angels instructed.
Right.
If they didn't say, well, you could call him Emmanuel, or you could call him Jesus if you really want to. It was a directive from God.
Right.
This is what you
and,
call him.
Right. And then it says it has a little tear because one of the shepherds got cut, and we used a piece of cloth to. Well, you mean to tell me shepherds don't have a first aid kit?
Well, I'll tell you where that came from. That's a little plug for, remember Dallas is always saying, talking about the one that he made for his church from the point of view of the shepherds.
Right,
and,
right.
And that episode is available to look at, and I saw it, and one of the shepherds that came got injured somehow. I forget how he fell down or something. And when he got there, they saw he was bleeding. So Joseph ripped off a piece of that cloth and put it around his wound. So that was a plug for his other Christmas episode.
Yeah. His other Christmas fiasco.
yes.
If you were to ask me, Chevy Chase, Christmas Vacation, or Dallas Jenkins, Chevy Chase.
I would even pick Charlie Brown Christmas over this one.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, this is a waste. This is my God. Please. Joseph pulls, Joseph is pulling baby Jesus out of Mary, and he comes out with a diaper. Wow. I mean, did you save the diaper too? Did you give her the diaper? Oh, my goodness. What a mess. All right, we have audio two here set up.
Okay, well, that's what we left off with episode three of season two of The Chosen, where
right.
And so
Nathaniel is like the counselor, the group count, the Dr. Phil of the group.
Or Philip, that's Philip that's always
Philip,
counseling
yeah.
everybody. But yeah. So we left off there at the hour 33 mark is what I got written down as to where we left off. And what this, the name of this episode is Matthew 4:24, and it's about Jesus healing the multitudes because his fame went out and they and the people were coming to get healed. And I guess the apostles are doing like crowd control and everything in shifts.
Okay.
And when they're not in their doing their shift work, they're hanging around the camp. And we arrive and we stop just before the part where Mary, the mother of Jesus, arrives. And it's nighttime by that time, and she's gonna be talking, you know, hanging out with them. So that's
okay.
where we left off at.
All right. I'll start it at the 1 hour 30-minute mark.
Okay.
Here we go.
You've been telling it.
What is that from?
Even a prophetic poem from the rabbis not so long ago. And there shall be no unrighteousness in them on his day, for they shall all be holy, and their king shall be the Lord Messiah.
Yes, that's why the Pharisees do not think he is the one, Mary. You have to help clean up the red quarter first.
I don't think he's waiting for us to be holy. And I think he's here because we can't be holy without him.
Wow, Mary's John MacArthur in this.
Yes.
She's
yes.
correcting them.
Like she's schooling them on what Jesus is really about. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She's the one with the inside, insight. She's got it. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Well, that's good. The baptizer will want to use that.
Hey, James, I need you to help with crowd control. People are bickering and getting physical and,
because
I can't help much in that department, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm
going to have to use my sword on them before the Romans.
So, let's see here. How are we doing?
Well, how do I put this?
Well, are you serious? I'm more soft than I was.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I thought you said you were good at this.
I thought I was.
I can't get out of this now.
How did you?
So what's everyone talking about?
Not much. Just prophecy, our growing fame, the Messiah hitting disease instead of overthrowing the Romans. Small topics like that.
Well, I'm not sorry I missed it. I'm ready for this day to be over.
What about out there? Anything happen in your short shift?
No, same as all day. One thing that is annoying me, though, is these people. They are believing in him and praising him, and don't get me wrong, that's great, but it's because he's healing them. The Samaritan.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said. That's all they needed.
I just don't know how many of them would believe in him if he wasn't healing them.
So I have to ask.
I think I can guess.
I have two questions. Forgive me, but I speak plainly. What is your malady?
Forgive me. I don't mean to offend.
It's fine. It's a form of paralysis. It's caused problems since birth.
It's almost time for evening meal. Are you hungry?
So then why... I mean... Why hasn't he healed you? How do you watch all these healings today? Does it bother you?
Fair questions. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about all of this. I mean, I suppose one big thing is that I haven't asked.
Why not?
I don't know.
If I had your struggle and I was watching what was happening today, I'd demand it.
I don't know if I should. It just doesn't feel right. You know, and I suppose I've just been grateful that he called me to follow him in spite of it, but it's never come up, not even once. And I'm just afraid that if I mention it to him, it will make him change his mind about me or something.
I'm pretty sure he knows your situation. Not like if you pointed out, he'd be surprised.
That's true.
Mary!
We thought you were coming tomorrow.
Ah, well, some friends were
able to come with me earlier, so they dropped me off today, and they're seeing some family in the area.
You'll be with us for a little while, yes?
To the feast, and then we'll see.
Oh, Philip, shalom. What are you doing here?
I'm with your son now.
Is John all right? I haven't spoken to him in a while.
John is fine, but he said the time was now, so here I am, trying to make myself useful.
Uh-huh.
Mary, this is Matthew. He wasn't with us at the wedding.
Ah, shalom, Matthew. Welcome. Oh, look. That's fine clothing.
Thank you.
Well, what do you do?
I don't. I
He's a new student. Jesus called him. Ah, lovely. Well, I'm sure you're someone special. So, was today a very long day? I saw a lot of people. Simon told me to come back here. Do we know when Jesus will be finished?
We walked here from Philippi this morning, and he hasn't stopped since then.
Mm. He has always been a worker. He gets that from his father. Both of them, I suppose. Speaking of work, I see the food. You look exhausted. I'm here to help. We'll have it ready very, very soon.
Another Catholic ploy in that Mary, instead of being accompanied by her sons and her daughters like in the Gospels, friends brought her.
Mm-hmm. And at the wedding at Cana, it was the same thing. And it, when Dallas showed that, she arrived and friends brought her. She's never seen in the Chosen with her other children.
Right. So he's tailoring this, obviously. You see, it's like when a preacher, you know, and I've seen this for years, a preacher gets up, and now he's going to make his money by collecting his offering at the end. So what does he do? He caters to every group in the sermon. He goes to the church mothers, and he loves on them in the sermon, and then he goes to the sisters, and he loves on them, and then he goes to the young people, and he loves, and then of course, he dotes on the pastor. Oh, what a man of God. This is a great man of God. You got a Moses here, right? And then, boom, here comes the offering, and what happens? Everybody loves him. Everybody gives. Because he served everybody what they wanted to hear. Man pleaser.
Exactly.
So, again, this is horrible. Horrible. And, but listen, people are lapping this up, you know? They're just lapping it up.
Yes, indeed. Catholics, everybody included.
Everybody. Evangelicals, which are not, they're no longer evangelicals, you know. Look, we have to conclude, we hate to say this, but we have to conclude that the majority of the church is apostate. That's the thing.
Yes.
Right? We just, I mean,
I agree.
There's no other way of putting it. Is there another way of putting
right.
it?
Right, and I'm not saying that they're not true believers, true sheep sprinkled here and there, but I believe that the Lord is wooing them to come out of it.
Right, right. And you have some churches, you know, you have some churches out there that, you know, love the Lord and are holding on to true doctrine. But the
right.
majority of the churches, the majority, they're far gone. They're far gone. They're, you know,
that's right.
They are going to cater to everybody, and you can't do that. You can't. You have to preach Christ to the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them that believe, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can't. You have to preach the message, and people will respond, and based on that, you have a church or you don't have a church, and that's the bottom line.
That's right.
But this guy, look, I, you know, it's like Joel Osteen. I'm sure he has the experts telling him this is what. Look, on Block Talk, you know, on Block Talk, where we do these shows, they coach you on what words to use for you to draw people to your show. I've never done that. They say,
right.
okay, use these words and you will draw people to your show. And
yes.
so it's all a matter of how do you draw people? How, you know, write a title so people will be interested. And, you know, Jensen Franklin, and I go back to this, Jensen Franklin wrote that book, The Spirit of Python, right? It was $20 at the time. And he sold, you know, I don't know, it was a New York Times bestseller. I wrote 3 books on that book. I couldn't give them away for free. I was giving
right.
my books away. And what? Maybe 20 people, if that? I don't even think if that. People don't want truth. They want to they want to be lied to. People like lies.
They want their ears tickled.
Yeah, they you know, they like, I don't know what it is. Well, obviously, I mean, the devil, you know, the devil's is at work. I mean, and he's got, you know, he's got his, you know, it's like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Right? The circus comes to town, the Madison Square Garden used to get filled up. You know?
It looks like Dallas and his series is a Trojan horse in the church.
Yeah. And think about this. Think about the money that he's making, big time money. He's making big money. Big,
yes, he
big
is.
Money. Big money. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, his wife says, oh, the Lord told me to tell him the loaves and the fishes. Well, the thing is that the little kid gave the loaves and the fishes for free.
That's right.
Right? And he didn't
well,
get
I
no
guess
money
he's
back.
He's saying they give it to God for free, but they'll charge you.
Right. Exactly. See, that's the con game. That's the con.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not against anybody writing a book and making money. God bless you. You spent the time and the research. You did the work. You burned the midnight hour writing and all that. God bless you. You're entitled to yours. But this is rubbish. On the back of Jesus, you know, this you are hurting Jesus' reputation with this garbage. That's what you're doing.
Yes, he's showing a different Jesus,
right?
And besmirching the character of the and the nature of the real Jesus. The only thing
Correct.
Dallas wants to show is a human version of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. All right, let me squeeze in a few more minutes here because we have – it's 3:45, so can we – we'll squeeze in a few more minutes here.
Okay.
Mental break. Do one of your meaningless question games.
They're not meaningless. They're interesting. And I've got one I've been thinking about lately. What would you do for unlimited money? Or what would you give up to have all the money you could ever want for the rest of your life?
Meaning, would I do something painful?
Yes. Or crazy? Would you run through the marketplace with no clothes on, screaming?
Of course not. I'd be killed by a soldier. Plus, it would be a molest. It would be a sin. Fine. Something that wasn't a sin. Would you give up your left hand if you would be rich the rest of your life?
Maybe not a full hand, but a couple of fingers, sure. What about love? Would you give up ever getting married?
I don't know. Simon? Is it worth it? Absolutely, but you'll never be so lucky to find someone like Eden, so take the money.
I've never had much money my whole life, and I've been happy.
I don't expect we'll have much money for as long as we're following him.
But you have had some money before, yes? Are you happier now or then?
Ask Matthew.
John?
What? That was a bad question? You brought up money. Matthew's had it. We have not.
I feel better now. I don't know if that means happy.
It's not polite to talk about personal money.
Just a question. I think about it sometimes. And then I feel guilty.
For what?
For thinking about things I shouldn't. Wanting things I shouldn't care so much about. Sometimes I feel like I'm living someone else's life. Like I look at myself from the outside. It doesn't always feel like me. Feels like someone who's trying to live up to the heroes of our history. Like I have to do something great. But I know I'm not great. Know it even more now, being with him.
I understand. I feel like I need to not make any more mistakes. What do you think I felt?
You must feel that every day, no?
Not anymore. He always reassured me. And God always made me feel like I shouldn't be burdened. So how did you feel when it happened? When what happened? First, even before that, how did you know, when did you know who he was? I don't know. We're all tired. Do you really want to hear all that?
Yes.
Oh. Well, nothing about it was easy, I can tell you that. It wasn't in my hometown. My mother wasn't there. We had no midwife. I don't know if I'm ready to give all the details. Maybe some other time. But I do remember this. When Joseph handed him to me, it was like nothing I expected. It was like everything I'd heard about having a baby, but I thought this would be completely different.
What do you mean?
I had to clean him off. He was covered in... I will be polite. He needed to be cleaned. And he was cold. And he was crying. And he needed my help. My help. A teenager from Nazareth. It actually made me think for just one moment. Is this really the Son of God? And Joseph later told me he briefly thought the same thing. But we knew he was. I don't know what I expected. But he was crying and he needed me. And I wondered how long that would last. He doesn't need me anymore. Not since we taught him how to walk and eat. He hasn't needed me for a long time, I suppose. And after Joseph passed, may he rest in peace. He grew up even quicker. And I wish I could say that made me happy. Of course, as a Jew, I'm excited to see everything he does for our people, and I'm proud of him. But as a mom, it makes me a little sad sometimes. So it's good to be with all of you for a bit. I can find ways to help. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Simon, when you were just with him, did it seem it would go for very long?
It's tough to tell. The line was dying down, but he won't send anyone away anyway, so we'll see.
A good trick on them. Can I take your place?
Yes, thank you.
So what do you think of that whole scene there?
More it seems of elevating Mary, or at this point, she, when he was a baby, she felt like he needed her, and now not so much. But the other thing was she said that she wasn't sure when she knew who he was, but the angel told her from the beginning who he was. And then as after he was born, the shepherds and the magi came, and the prophecy from Simeon and other things that happened, how God miraculously got him out of there before Herod could come after him, and just a lot of things that happened where she should have had some idea, don't you think?
Well, let's go back to the Magnificat that she told Mary Magdalene to write down.
Right.
How could this woman claim in this scene that she doesn't know who Jesus was initially, when in the Magnificat she's worshiping God for about what he's about to do with her life?
Right.
Right? So, I mean, God picked her. God explained to her what was going to happen. He said it through the angel. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, we're not talking about we're not talking about one of these angelic visits that these crazy apostles are. We're talking about a legitimate angel named Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how could she not know? This doesn't line up with the Word of God. She knew. Not only that, look, if I got up one morning and I was pregnant and I knew no man, you know,
right.
Okay, you know, and the belly's growing, come on. This, you know, we have to put it in the context of what happened biblically. Bible says she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened at that moment. So, and she testifies to that. Then here, I didn't know. What? You didn't know? Well, of course you don't know because you're not the Mary of the Bible. The Mary of Scripture knew.
Yes, and then other things happened that just confirmed and reinforced what she already knew. But the angel
right.
told her what was going to happen.
The shepherds come. The shepherds come. The magi come. Joseph is woken up and woken up. Right. Go to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Herod is seeking
That's
to
right.
destroy the child. Wait a minute. But yet you want to hold on to his diapers and his swaddling clothes, lady. You make no sense. You see, on the one hand, I kept everything because he was special. On the other hand, I didn't know what he was.
You had no clue what he was, yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. From one scene to another, it doesn't make any sense. It's just, this is just poorly done. It's just, you know.
Right.
And it just drags
it's like
on.
It can completely just dismisses what the scripture says. I mean, she knew.
Right.
And then, you know, perhaps at some point Joseph told her what the angels may have said to him. So I don't know.
Yeah, this, again.
I don't know who these people are.
Mm-mm. And then Jesus is ministering by himself. You know, when you read the Bible accounts, the disciples were for him what ushers are in the church.
Right.
All them dudes are just lying down on the ground on a campfire singing Kumbaya.
Looks like they're working in shifts. The last I saw, Philip went to do something, but I don't know who else is there. So most of them are just hanging out.
Right. Flunkies.
Philip and
flunkies
James.
Is what we call flunkies.
Big James.
Yeah. This is what we call flunkies. That's what they are. If you're going to be a disciple, you have to be next to your master so you can learn on the job.
Well,
there were no whiteboards
back
then.
The scriptures point bear it out, so I don't know
right.
what this is.
Yeah, so we're out of time. Great show. Glad to be back. I know you're glad to be back. We'll pick this up
on next
Wednesday. And you have the last word, my sister, and I hope you feel better from your surgery.
Yes, I do. Thank God it got me through it, and I'm feeling better. But as always, just thank you for listening. I'm glad to be back and looking forward to this coming year. And God bless you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.